Nastyeva Gatiranyata. We'll begin by chanting the introductory prayers, which are found on page 1 of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shlokaya Chakshurinmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Utale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padandigam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaguna Raghunathanvitam Dhamsa Jivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitangsha He Krishna Karana Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, everyone. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bolo! Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 So special blessings to the devotees in Santiago. I see that Sakshi is online, as well as Bhima. So all my friends in Santiago, Haribo. So now we're going to study the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 18, the conclusion, the perfection of renunciation, verse number 54. There are some books available, so if you want to follow along, please do so. We'll wait till everyone has a book. Let us please repeat. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Shochati Na Kangshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Shochati Na Kangshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One more time. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Shochati Na Kangshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. I would like to recognize my good friend Swayambhuva Das in Dallas, Haribo. Very good, Swayambhuva. Let us now do the synonyms. Please repeat. Brahma Bhuta, being one with the Absolute. So this word, Absolute, is defined in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. The absolute truth is one non-dual substance, but it is appreciated in different levels. So the first level, which is understood or realized by the impersonalists or the jnanis, is the all-pervasive spiritual energy, Brahman. Higher than that are the yogis who realize the Supreme Lord within the heart, Param Atma. And then the topmost transcendentalist, the devotees, they realize the personality of Godhead. So either that personality of Godhead is a four-handed Narayan form, or the ultimate feature of the personality of Godhead, the two-handed form of Shyama Sundara or Krishna. So Brahma Bhuta, being one with the Absolute, for the devotees, That oneness with the Absolute comes in two different understandings. Oneness with the Absolute does not mean that the devotees lose their individuality. When they say oneness with the Absolute, it means that they have regained their original spiritual status. They have become liberated from the modes of material nature. In chapter 14, Arjuna asked the question, how does one transcend the modes of nature? And Krishna answered by saying that when you engage in devotional service, bhakti yoga, and there's no interruption, when your service to Krishna is non-stop, and there's no check, then at that time only are you considered liberated. And Krishna used the phrase Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, very similar to this first word that we're studying, Brahma Bhuta. Brahma Bhuta and Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate means the same thing for a devotee. To regain one's original spiritual position of liberation. Originally, we are liberated. We become unliberated when we misuse our minute independence. That is how we become conditioned or unliberated. Originally, we are all liberated, but we misuse our independence. How do we misuse it? We stop serving Krishna. We stop serving Krishna, and instead we try ourselves to be God, the enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend. We give up our situation of eternal servitude to Krishna. To be liberated means to always act in the status of servant of God. As soon as I stop acting as the servant of God, immediately I become unliberated. I become conditioned. So Brahma Bhuyaya or Brahma Bhuta means to be situated always on the platform of spiritual equality with God. Spiritual, not quantity, quality. Krishna, God, is all spirit, and the soul is also spirit. In order to serve God, I have to be on the same platform. That's another meaning, Brahma Bhuta or Brahma Bhayaya. On the same platform, liberated platform of God. By definition, God is always liberated. If I think that there's a possibility of God being conditioned, or if I think that there's a situation where God is no longer liberated, that nullifies the very definition of God. By definition, God is that being who is always liberated, always unconditioned. Even if he comes to this planet, even if he comes to the material world, if as soon as you say that God becomes conditioned, then he's no longer God. That negates the very definition. God, by definition, has to be always in the liberated state, regardless of where he is situated, materially in the spirit, in the material world, or in the spiritual world. The definition of God, one of the definitions of God, is always liberated. to serve God, I have to also be on that liberated platform. So therefore, Brahma-Bhuta, one in that sense, on the same platform of liberation. Let's go to the next word. Prasanna-Atma. Please repeat. Prasanna-Atma. Fully joyful. So, unless you are on the liberated platform, then you cannot be fully joyful. In the Bhagavad Gita, later on, in this chapter, but previous to this verse, Krishna explained that there is happiness in the mode of ignorance. We see how people take intoxication and they think that they're enjoying. We see that there is happiness in the mode of passion, people working very hard, trying to enjoy sex. That's happiness in the mode of passion. And then there is happiness in the mode of goodness, which is the pursuit of knowledge, to act according to one's duties, to control the senses, to become peaceful. The Brahmana, previous to this verse, Krishna explained the qualities of a Brahmana. Shama dama tapakshocham kshantir arjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma swabhavajam. A Brahmana is someone who is in the mode of goodness. So he controls his mind, controls the senses, shamodamatapa, performs austerities, does not live a licentious life. Shamodamatapa kshocham, a Brahmana is clean inside and out, takes bath 2-3 times a day, wears clean clothes, lives in a clean environment, and is always performing purified activities. Shamodamatapakshocham kshantir. A Brahmana is tolerant and forgiving. A Brahmana does not hold a grudge. A Brahmana can forgive. Arjavam. A Brahmana is simple, truthful, doesn't have a hidden agenda, doesn't speak like a politician out of both sides of the mouth. No, a Brahmana speaks the plain, simple truth for the benefit of all. A Brahmana has good knowledge, knowledge that is found in the Vedas, such as Bhagavad Gita. That's also the symptom of a Brahmana. And a Brahmana also has a realization. A Brahmana not only has book knowledge, but also practices the knowledge, and because of that practice, gets tangible scientific realization. And then the most important quality of a Brahmana, astikyam, firm faith in God and the Vedas, or the scriptures. Implicit faith in God and the scriptures. But even all these qualities of a Brahmana, even though it's in the mode of goodness, it's not fully joyful. So whether you're in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, your pleasure, your happiness is not full, because it's material. Anything material cannot give you complete satisfaction. Why? Because we're spiritual. And because we're spiritual, we need spiritual pleasure. That only will satisfy us, not something material. And Krishna points out in the Bhagavad Gita that any material pleasure or any material happiness has a beginning, middle, and an end. Like a sine wave. It starts, goes, and comes down. Any material pleasure is limited and temporary. So prasanna atma, fully joyful, that can only come when you are Brahma Bhuta, when you are liberated from all infection of the material modes of nature. Fully joyful, ananda. Ananda means that pleasure which does not have a beginning, middle, and end, but is always increasing. Take any material pleasure. It does not constantly increase, whether it be eating. You eat that first sweet, very good. Second one, it's good. But by the 50th, no more. You can't take it because it's material. It's not constantly increasing. But spiritual pleasure, the liberated pleasure, that is always increasing. There's no check. So if you want to be fully joyful, then you have to get off the bodily and mental plane. You have to come to the stage of Brahma-Bhuta. And that Brahma-Bhuta stage, I already said at the beginning, Arjuna asked the question, how to become Brahma-Bhuta? And Krishna said, always be engaged in service to Him. Bhakti Yoga. If you're always engaged in devotional service, then you will be fully joyful. You're doing it right now. Shravanam, you're hearing. This is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga, hearing about Krishna. I'm doing the second one. Actually, I'm doing two. I'm hearing and chanting. And then the more you do hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting, you come to the stage of smaranam, remembering. And then there are other stages until finally you have full surrender. You give everything, heart and soul, to Krishna or God. But there are nine processes. But this hearing and chanting, this is the beginning. And without this hearing and chanting, you cannot proceed forward. Lord Chaitanya recommends always be engaged in hearing and chanting. Kirtaniya sadda. Always be engaged in hearing and chanting. Therefore, either I'm hearing about Krishna or I'm talking about Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So let's go on to the next word. Na, please repeat. Na, please repeat. Never. Sochati, laments. Na, never. Kangshati, desires. So, another symptom of a liberated person is that that liberated person doesn't lament for anything in this material world. And neither, as it says here, desires anything of this world. The liberated person is only desiring service. My Lord, please engage me in your service. Just like when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That meaning of that mantra is that we are asking Krishna and his consort Srimati Radharani that so long I have been engaged in trying to satisfy my own material desires. But I have become frustrated. They're limited and temporary. But now I turn to you, Radha and Krishna. You please engage me in your service. So the devotee desire must be there. As long as I am alive, as long as the living entity exists, there must be desire. We are not dead stone. Desire is the symptom of the living condition. So the desire has to change from the limited material plane to the unlimited spiritual plane. And again, what is that desire? Please let me be engaged in your service, my Lord. Let me engage in serving you. Because if I'm engaged in serving you, then I will be complete, as it says here, prasanna atma, fully joyful. So the devotee is always praying, my Lord, please give me service. And if there's no service to do, then immediately the devotee is hearing and chanting, hearing and chanting. It's always staying engaged in one of the nine kinds of devotional service. But the devotee aspires for the stage where he or she can directly do something for their lovable object, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. But when it comes to the material world, the devotee has no desire for anything and doesn't lament for anything in this material world. What does Lord Chaitanya teach us? Nadanang, najanang, nasundaring, kavitang va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishware, bhavatad bhaktir ahaituki twayi. Lord Chaitanya teaches us the perfect prayer. That perfect prayer is, my Lord, I do not desire anything of this material world. I don't want money. I don't want fame or popularity. I don't want a better material situation where I can enjoy my senses. My Lord, I don't ask for anything. And even I may go back to your abode or I may not go back to your abode. I may have to come back to this world again. That's all right. Bhavatad bhaktir ahituki twayi. But my Lord, I do ask you, please allow me to serve you either in heaven or hell, but let me serve you purely. Let me serve you free from motivation. Let me serve you simply out of love. That is the devotee's desire. Nothing about this material world. He's indifferent. The devotee is indifferent. But my Lord, as long as I am here, let me engage somehow without any intention other than simply serving you out of love. Let's continue. The next word. Sama. Equally disposed. Saradeshu. To all. Bhuteshu. Living entities. So this is another symptom of a liberated person. No friends, no enemies. Equal. Why? Because the devotee knows in everyone's heart is the soul and God. Two. In everybody there are two souls. The individual soul, you, the real person, and your next door neighbor, God. Both are there in the heart. So the devotee does not discriminate between the different kinds of bodies. That's like making a distinction. Oh, you're wearing a yellow dress. I don't like you. How silly that would be. Oh, you're wearing a blue pants. I don't like you. That would be ridiculous. Your clothes have nothing to do with you. Whether you wear this kind of dress or that, you're still the same person. So in the same way, a devotee does not make a distinction. Oh, you have human body. Oh, you have animal. No. The bodies are also clothes. This is explained in chapter 2. Vasangsi, Jirnani, Yata Vihaya. Just as we change clothes, we change bodies. Just like, although people do it, but we shouldn't. Oh, you only drive a Toyota. I drive Mercedes. We judge people here in California by what they drive. Oh, look at him. He only drives a Hyundai. That's also crazy. Doesn't matter what car you drive. That doesn't make you a better person. Many criminals drive Mercedes-Benz. Does that make them better? Oh, he's a criminal, but he's better because he drives a Mercedes. That's also ludicrous. So the devotee, Krishna says, after this verse and a few verses, the body is just like a car. Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. The body is just like a car. So just as we don't judge somebody by their clothes, by their car, we don't judge by their body. We see the soul and the super soul. That's what we look to. When devotees offer their obeisances, they're not paying obeisances to the person who identifies with that body. No. We pay obeisances to Krishna inside that body, not to the person who identifies. No. We're paying obeisances to Krishna who lives inside that body. So the devotee is equal to all living entities. Equal, because he knows these bodies are simply outward dress. The real thing is the soul and the super soul. So he's equal. Last line, please repeat. Mat Bhaktim. My devotional service. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, saying that when you have achieved this position, liberated, when you are fully joyful, when you no longer lament for anything in this world, and you don't desire for anything of this world, and when you are equal to everyone, Mad Bhaktim, my devotional service, next word, Labhate, you gain, and then the last word, Param, transcendental. Then you achieve the transcendental state of serving Krishna eternally. Krishna, don't worry. Nowadays, people are very, very concerned. Will I lose my job? But when you reach the liberated stage, you don't lose your job. You only lose your job if you want to. But when you're liberated, you don't want to lose your job. You love your service to Krishna so much, even someone wants to take it, you'll not give it away. Because your service to Krishna is the most valuable thing for you. It's your eternal inheritance. It is your eternal inheritance to be engaged in your service to Krishna. And each and every one of us has a unique, special, individual service that you will render to Krishna forever. Wouldn't you want to find out what that is? That's why we very seriously chant Because I want to find out, what am I meant to be doing for eternity? Some people have a conception. Oh, I don't want to go to heaven. It must be boring sitting in the clouds playing a harp. They have no idea. No, in the spiritual world, there is so much activity. And it's not boring. It's not like the material world. When you get a job, say a factory job in the material world, you do that same thing over and over and over and over again. We've seen the films of the people in China and elsewhere working in a factory. All they do all day is move this to this. Next, move this to this. So people have a conception, oh, in the heaven or the kingdom of God, it'll be some hackneyed, boring job. No. When you are employed in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, it's a new experience moment to moment. You'll not be bored. It'll be a thrill at every moment. And each and every one of us has a particular service which we will get to render to Krishna. And as soon as we can come to the purified stage of chanting without offense, that service will be revealed. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hari Bol Santa, Hari Bol, good to see you, Hari Bol. So now let's look at Prabhupada's translation. Please repeat. One who is thus transcendentally situated, at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. So this verse, which Kalindi picked out, is one of the main verses, in the top 25 of all the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. It's one of the top 25. So let's look at Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. If you have a book, please follow along. Srila Prabhupada always includes a purport so that we get the full meaning and derive the full benefit from these verses. Srila Prabhupada, thank you very much for creating this ISKCON movement, and thank you for having these classes in the morning and evening so that we can scientifically understand better this Krishna consciousness. To the impersonalist, achieving the Brahma-Bhuta stage, becoming one with the Absolute, is the last word. But for the personalist or pure devotee, one has to go still further to become engaged in pure devotional service. This means that one who is engaged in pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord is already in a state of liberation called Brahma Bhuta, oneness with the Absolute. Without being one with the Supreme, the Absolute, one cannot render service unto him. In the Absolute conception, there is no difference between the served and the servitor, yet the distinction is there in a higher spiritual sense. In the material concept of life, when one works for sense gratification, there is misery. But in the Absolute world, When one is engaged in pure devotional service, there is no misery. The devotee in Krishna consciousness has nothing for which to lament or desire. Since God is full, a living entity who is engaged in God's service in Krishna consciousness becomes also full in himself. He is just like a river cleansed of all dirty water. Because a pure devotee has no thought other than Krishna, he is naturally always joyful. He does not lament for any material loss or aspire for gain because he is full in the service of the Lord. He has no desire for material enjoyment because he knows that every living entity is a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and therefore eternally a servant. He does not see in the material world someone as higher and someone as lower. Higher and lower positions are ephemeral, and a devotee has nothing to do with ephemeral appearances or disappearances. For him, stone and gold are of equal value. This is the Brahma-Bhuta stage, and this stage is attained very easily by the pure devotee. In that stage of existence, the idea of becoming one with the Supreme Brahman and annihilating one's individuality becomes hellish. The idea of attaining the heavenly kingdom becomes a phantasmagoria, and the senses are like serpent's teeth that are broken. As there is no fear of a serpent with broken teeth, there is no fear from the senses when they are automatically controlled. The world is miserable for the materially infected person, but for a devotee, the entire world is as good as Vaikuntha, or the spiritual sky. The highest personality in this material universe is no more significant than an ant for a devotee. Such a stage can be achieved by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, who preached pure devotional service in this age. So at this time, if anybody would like to ask a question, we can take questions if anyone has one at this time. Yes, Kalindi. Yes. You want me to speak more on that? If you can remember Krishna at the time of death, then it will be revealed to you right after that. Up until then, if you have not realized it, that's all right. But can you remember Krishna at the time of death? Then, as Krishna says in this Bhagavad Gita, anyone who remembers me at the time of death, where do they go? To Krishna. If you're going to Krishna, you'll be told at the gate, okay, Kalindi, this is your service. But it could be revealed to you before then if you chant purely without offense. So every day we try as best we can to chant without offense. We try to chant very sincerely, very seriously. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Does that, yes? Okay, here the service that we're doing is apprenticeship. We are practicing for the opportunity to render the real service in the spiritual world. So here we try our best to deliver ourselves and as many others as we can. And everything that the spiritual master and the Prabhupada has given us is preparing us for what we're going to be doing in eternity. Now, a purity, and it was mentioned, Lord Chaitanya mentioned, that my Lord, it doesn't matter if I have to take my birth, mama janmani janmanishwade, it doesn't matter. Because for a pure devotee, either doing the service in the spiritual world or doing the service here, there's no difference. So, if you want, if you say to the Lord, my Lord, I don't mind coming back, but if Krishna says, no, come back, I would come back. But if Krishna says, no, no, Nirantara, you cannot come back. You have to take birth in Saudi Arabia and you have to convert all the Muslims. Yes, my Lord. The devotee is obedient and surrender. Or the Lord may say, no, I want you to go to the moon and preach. The devotee is surrender. But if Krishna says, no, you come back, I'm not going to argue. If Krishna says to you, it's like if somebody offers you some nice Mahaprasad, you take it, don't you? So Krishna may say to you, okay, come. So the devotee is surrendered. That is the meaning of surrendered. Surrendered means, yes, my Lord, what do you want me to do? Here, there, wherever, I'm ready to go. What do you think? Is that all right? Yes, Jagadambika, any questions? Well, ask it now. Oh, the hierarchy. All right. I said. Yes. Simultaneously one and different. Because the super soul is actually a reflection of Krishna. So higher than the super soul is Krishna himself, two-handed, playing on his flute, dancing. So, if you are able to satisfy the Lord in your heart, you are doing wonderful. And satisfying the Lord in the heart will eventually get you to Shyama Sundara, the one that you serve very nicely every day. Because the one in the heart is four-handed. The one on the altar is two-handed. So I'm sure you want to serve ultimately the two-handed form, yes? You're on TV right now, Jagadambika. Your husband is playing a trick. You're very welcome. Anything else that we need to discuss? Are we satisfied? Wait, there's a message on Skype. Somebody has Skyped me. Yes, that is in Brahmabhuta. Yes, that's what we studied all day. I have a question. What mean the servant and Krishna are no different? Yes, Bhima. Prabhupada mentioned that on the spiritual platform, the servant and God, they're on the same liberated spiritual platform. That is the meaning. And Prabhupada also said that there is a distinction in the higher sense. So yes, God is still God, and the soul is still the servant, but they're on the same platform. Simply one is accepting the service, and one is rendering the service. And I will add, it is the teaching of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the ecstasy of being God's servant is higher than being God. But everyone in the world wants to be God, not knowing that according to even Lord Chaitanya Advaitacharya, it is higher to be the servant of God. That's why God becomes Lord Chaitanya. Because Krishna looks at Radharani and says, how is it that she is enjoying more than me? I am God, and Radharani is enjoying more than me serving me. So Krishna wants to understand that. Therefore, he takes Radharani's position and becomes Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that he can relish the ecstasy of what it is to serve God. So these are very high, the highest spiritual concepts, that it's more higher, more ecstatic to be the servant of God. But we don't believe it. We still think, I want to be the boss. I want to be the enjoyer. No. That is what Krishna consciousness teaches. Just try to be the servant of God for which you are meant for, and you will enjoy the highest transcendental happiness. Any other questions? Oh, good. I love questions. Yes, that was the first thing that I talked about. One meaning on the same liberated platform. Remember at the beginning I said God is always liberated. In order to serve him, you also have to be liberated. So that is the meaning of oneness. In chapter 15, towards the end, Krishna will say that there are two kinds of living beings, conditioned, who are fallible, and liberated, who are infallible. And the word there is given, oneness. And Prabhupada makes it very clear. The living entities in the spiritual world are one how. Not one meaning they lost their individuality, not that kind of oneness. But they have no separate interest. Just like in your family, everybody has to be on the same page. You expect your children to do what you say. Yes or no? Right? Then everyone will be happy. Yes? There's a common expression. The father says, everyone will like what I say and be happy. Right? So, in the spiritual world, there is harmony, there is agreement, there is oneness, because nobody challenges Krishna. Everybody is surrendered to Krishna. And as soon as anyone says, no, I don't want to be surrendered to Krishna, all right, here's your ticket, go to Los Angeles. Go ahead. Because in the spiritual world, there is no disagreement. There's only one party. There are no Democrats, no Republicans, no liberals, nothing. There's only one party, Krishna's party. And everyone is in agreement with Krishna. So they are one in purpose. They're all on the, let's say, popular conception. Here in Los Angeles, we had the Los Angeles Lakers basketball team, right? So there are five guys on the court. but they're supposed to work for the same interest, to dump a stupid ball in a hoop. That's the whole game of basketball. She's laughing. She knows it's true. Millions of dollars for people to throw a ball into a hoop. But the idea is they all have the same objective. The other team doesn't win. We all work together to put the ball in the hoop. That's oneness. But there are five individuals, are there not? But they all are one, or any team, soccer, cricket, whatever. There may be many individuals, but they have the same goal. So when you are on the same platform as Krishna, you have only one intention. How can I satisfy Krishna? And if I'm able to satisfy Krishna, my happiness knows no bounds. But as soon as I try to imitate Krishna, no, Krishna should not be the enjoyer. I'm the enjoyer. Vote for me. Follow me. Worship me. Then, conflict. Because everybody here has the same idea. Everybody here in Los Angeles has the same understanding. Everyone should love me. Everyone should surrender to me. I have my own Gita. Everyone should surrender. Then everyone will be happy. If everyone, everybody in the family thinks, whether it's the husband, the father, the teenage kid is thinking, if my parents would just do what I say, we'd be so happy. Every teenage kid is thinking like that, right? And the parents are thinking, if these children would just do what I say, we'd be happy. Everyone wants everyone else to surrender to them because everyone's trying to imitate Krishna. Therefore, conflict. The Jews don't hate the Arabs. Indeed, no one gets along. Why? Because everyone's trying to be the boss. But in the spiritual world, there's no wars, there's no conflict. Everybody's in agreement. Krishna's the boss, I'm the doss. Is that okay? Oh, that's the end of the game. Krishna won again. For those of you on the internet, I'll be giving class tomorrow morning here in New Dwarka at 7:30. You need, Gopal, you need this wire here. You need this wire. Here you go. I think that's it. Jai. Hari Bol.